Oh, yeah?
You're right on time. All right, let's do this. Call to order, roll call.
Chair Randall Hill.
He's here, I'm here.
Vice Chair Pats.
Here.
Commissioner Dean Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Mejia.
Here.
Commissioner Murphy.
Here.
And Commissioner Salai.
Here.
Thank you.
Pledge of Allegiance. How about you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, Commissioner Pats?
Be my pleasure. All rise, put your hand over your chest, and begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for your honor. Oral communication. Do I have to read it if no one's here?
It's your choice. I didn't receive anything, so.
You don't have anything? I don't see anything. Let's move on. Approval of the minutes. February 9th minutes. I'm assuming we have some changes called in?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I will make a motion to approve the minutes with the changes that may have come from more than myself, because I saw some others on there too. Need a second?
Do we have a second?
Second.
And do we have any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Staff reports.
First staff report.
Item six is our.
I believe it's a
teleconference.
Yes, it's just I don't know if you're aware, Commissioner. Well, first off, good evening. How's everyone doing? But it's just a house cleaning item that gives us, the city, an opportunity to, if we need to, conduct a Zoom meeting. So the state has handed down that we have to bring this item up to any type of public meeting or board every 30 days. So I just want to give a heads up that I think we're dealing with, like with council one time, where a council meeting didn't hit up 30 days, so we had to call a special council meeting just to approve this item, right? Right now, I think Maria and I looked at it. I don't think it really affects the traffic, per se.
Next month, it does.
All right, so.
31 days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or 30 days for us.
Yeah, so.
But it's 31 in the month, that's why.
Oh.
Yeah. So at that time, we're probably gonna do just a quick Zoom meeting just to approve this item. It's just like a housekeeping item.
Sure.
Okay. So any questions? I'm here to answer. But again, it just I don't see us, unless the state of California says that we're going to go backwards. But from here on out, we're going to. My plan is to keep doing the in-person meeting.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion. To follow the recommendation, we need three findings. A state of emergency is being proclaimed by California's governor due to the COVID-19 pandemic and continues to be in effect. The Traffic Commission has reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency. And three, state and local officials continue to recommend measures to promote social distancing to slow the spread of COVID-19. And
second? Do
we
have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. B.
All right. The second report today is a receive and file. So we're just wanting to notify the Traffic Commission of our upcoming street improvement project that the City Council has approved. We went out to bid RFP. We had about, seven bids or so, five bids,
mm-hmm.
Come back in. It was awarded to a company called RJ Noble.
Big company.
Yeah. And so part of that too, as we were doing the whole RFP bid and going through this whole process of identifying streets in the city, we went out to bids on the streets, and I'll detail some of the streets in a bit, but we also identified after we went out to our, after we went out and did the whole specs and everything, that we had maybe a couple additional places to repair. So one, so Schedule A, we like to call, is the streets around the city. And so I don't know if Chris can take us, you have a map in front of you. that showcases the streets in each area. And so you can see the districts, you can see the neighborhoods, and et cetera. So we kind of try to spread it out again to hit a different district or a different neighborhood, and I think we accomplished that right there. Schedule B was an add-on, right? And so Schedule B add-on was the alleyway. Is that correct?
City parking lot and bollards.
Okay, correct. You know what? How do you see? It's the back map, right? So it's the city parking lot, repaving the city parking lot that is located on Pine Street and adding bollards at the intersection of Pine Street and Florista. So the bollards are, I believe, three of them. They're going to go into the ground. You have to manually put them in the ground and manually put them up.
Yes.
And it just helps out when we do special events in the city there. According to the specs, if a vehicle drives 35 miles an hour, it'll stop the vehicle cold. Right. So it's just an enhanced safety measure when we do any type of event there. So I can tell you, for instance, coming in April, the city is going to be doing a economic development parklet out there for 4 weeks. And then in the summertime, the Recreation Community Services Department is going to do 4 concerts out there as well. And then, of course, we also do our street fair out there and a Winter Wonderland, if you're aware of that, out there. So we, as a team, thought it'd be a good idea to put an enhanced safety out there. And so we recommend the council to do the bollards and, of course, repainting of the city parking lot, which is highlighted there. Schedule C is repair of the alleyway, which is highlighted there. And the alleyway, of course, is repaired. But it's also, if you go all the way to the end where the alley meets Catella, that was very problematic. And like a lot of infrastructure in the city, since the city was built many, many years ago and ADA standards came in, etc., that driveway did not meet ADA standards. So we have to do extensive work to make it up to ADA standards, including relocating a light pole. So that's why it was a huge sum of money. Correct. So Schedule B and Schedule C was an additional, what do you think, about $250,000? Right, for both B and C. And so with the street project, which was Schedule A, which is around 1.3 approximately, plus the extra 250, plus some, we have to do inspectors and specs and all that design, the whole project came up to approximately $1.7 million. And City Council, again, approved that. And so I just wanted to bring to the Traffic Commission that we're gonna do a very large, extensive street improvement project. We're gonna start in, I believe, April, like end of April, early May, and we're scheduled to end before July. So we got a lot of streets that were coming in, and we're gonna get that done. And outreach will be done, absolutely. The city will outreach, and of course, the contract will outreach a specific street when they go out there and do that project. I think I had Commissioner Murphy had a question first.
Is there provisions in there for price increases because of the cost of asphalt, because the oil is just skyrocketing right now?
No. So whatever they tell us is what the price is, correct. Now, there are stuff there that we delay the project. Let's say we as a city delay it 6 months per se, then the price may change, but we're not delaying. They provided us kind of like the timeline. We're sticking to that timeline. Yes. Yes, sir.
So the timeline has already shifted slightly, because over here it says 4-4 start and 6-27 end.
We're going to start around April. Yes. You think we can make it 4-4?
What does the 4-4 start show? What does it read?
Start it says 4-4-2022 start of construction.
Start of construction, 4-4. Okay.
And so it says end of construction 6-27.
Yeah, it's probably a couple weeks difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's already changed.
The contract is in the works right now.
Okay.
And once that's finalized, then we can schedule a construction meeting.
Got it.
And the hope is that they can get out there, very quickly.
The reason why we added on Schedule B and Schedule C is we thought this was a great opportunity to piggyback on the initial Schedule A. Because again, in construction, a lot of the large company, even a large company like RJ and Noble, they don't own all their equipment and stuff. And so procurement, rental of equipment, they call it a mobilization fee. So it's all done in one. If we separated out to two separate projects, then they would have charged us a secondary fee for mobilization. So that's why it was, we thought it was a good idea to try to bring it all in at the same project. Yes, sir.
I agree. I think that is a good idea. My question is, did you get any pushback from the other six companies that you'd offered the initial contract and then added on to it?
So in the initial RFP, we had all three schedules in there.
Ah.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
But we said we award based on Schedule A, and that was correct.
That is right. Thank you.
Good.
Ron, sounds like you've already selected the bollards or the bollard company. Is there any way we could, I'd love to see the spec on them. I have a lot of involvement working with some of those bollards just to see how they're going to work and what you chose.
Okay.
As far as what this.
We do have the specs here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, now when we.
So it would be this or an approved equal?
One of the items that when we were going through this was, I thought it'd be really cool to have the electronic one where you push a button and it goes up and down. When Chris told me the price of those, I said, okay, we're going to not go that way.
One of the things to consider in that is how many events do you actually have? How many times are you handling those?
How many times?
In my experience right now, currently, we have bollards that we put out, and they're put out 3 times a week, and it becomes a huge labor intensive project, and we're not talking about 3 or 4 bollards, we're talking about 30 or 40, and so that's what, you know, one of the things, the locking mechanisms, you know, and the way they work, that's why I just wanted to see what.
In which case, for your applications, it would make sense.
Can we move on? So, Commissioner Dean Hill?
Yes.
Did you want to perhaps ask about the Highlands and the issues there we have with the poles and
I did ask and I see that it's back on the status log, the last item, and so I don't know if there's anything more to talk about.
Well, the reason I ask is it seems like a similar type of job, so why wouldn't we piggyback? Is that scheduled? Where does that sit?
Okay.
Would it not piggyback well on this as well?
Yeah, so the light is a different type of scope of work, right? And so it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be how you conducive to kind of piggyback that on that. It's a little scope of work.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments regarding item 6B? All right. Well, thank you very much. Do you have anything further?
Not on this item.
Okay. No.
Do you have anything on this item?
No.
Yes.
It's pretty straightforward project.
Yeah. All right, then we are on to item C, the Traffic Commission status log. How about we start with you, Dean, and work our way down. Do you have anything you'd like to address?
Well, I see that my item is back on there. Thank you for getting it on there. Thank you. When opportunities come up, or I don't know. I know you said there was the only solution was an expensive one, and I really haven't given much thought of if there's other ways to do it that aren't so expensive, but I'm taking the engineer's
one. It's a geometry issue.
One of the things that I want to try to explain here, so, you know, I do not have a background in, you know, capital improvement projects and construction projects and stuff. I have a background in recreation. I think a lot of you know that. I spent 20 years in recreation. I got moved over to the development services. So I came in with a kind of like a different, you know, outside eye to things, right? And so I don't want to criticize what people have done in the past before me, but a lot of times they didn't do things the right way. Right, and because of that, I am inundated with trying to fix a lot of things. And sometimes, when you make, what's that phrase? Two rights don't make the correct way or whatever, right? And it's like, you know, they MacGyver. I call it MacGyver away. Then they try to, and then now it costs more to fix their MacGyver mistake than if they originally went and did it right the first time. You see, so There are other ways addressing that stat, that specific item to do it, but I personally looked at it, talked with Chris, talked with our traffic engineer Farhan, and said, what is the correct way to do things? Because when we expand out that type of money, I don't want it where a project says, you know, there's question marks around it, or we have to come back X number of years, 5 years, 4 years, and say we need to fix it again. Because I've been dealing with that literally every day since I came over here. And so that's one reason why it takes us a little longer to do things, because we have to totally do an analysis on it to see what is the correct way. But at the end of the day, what we push out, we want to do it right. And so that's the recommendation that I would say, is we do it the right way. It is a large sum of money. It does have to go through our CIP project process. And at the end of the day, who ultimately decides what project we do in the city, and that's council. Okay?
Okay.
But it is an EDA issue, so it
that's
should
correct.
Go some way.
That's
is that all you have?
Yes, that's all I have.
All right. Vice Chair, no. Commissioner Mejia.
Yeah, thank you.
Get all this straight.
You know, on that note, Ron, I have very much appreciated your approach to what we've done. I've seen a lot of things that you didn't have any knowledge of, but you did the homework. And for instance, you know, the thermoplast, huge difference. Sure, it's more costly, but a huge difference.
Yeah.
And with regards to the item that you brought forward with the ADA and the poles, some of the problem is that the poles have gotten bigger, the foundations have gotten bigger, there's not enough sidewalks, so you don't have egress already. And so when you start messing with it, then you have to put ramps, the ADA ramps have gotten bigger, and so all of that, you know, the workings, not to say that it can't be done and it shouldn't be done, but that's kind of the can of worms is all of a sudden it's a huge can. And so those things take a lot of time, so I appreciate the fact that you're looking into it, and that, you know, sometimes luck is on your side. You know, you might have a big rig that goes through there and wipes out the pole, and then all of a sudden now it has to be done, and somebody else's insurance is going to pay for it. So anyway, that's just my comment on that. I don't have anything else on the status log.
Vice Chair Pass.
I just want to thank which group is it? It's the people who do the signs.
The Public Works Division?
Thank you. Public Works Division. They changed out the signs on San Joaquin and San Mateo already. That fast. And I want to share with the rest of the commission that I attended a breakfast meeting this morning with the city, in which I got to meet the Public Works folks. I got to meet several of your police officers, our new police chief, and as I was sharing with Commissioner Salai, I got a number of questions from residents of the city and business people about the Traffic Commission, what we do, what our role is, and some shared some issues with me too. So very well worthwhile attending, and thank you.
Thank you for coming.
So, Commissioner Murphy.
Yeah, we talked briefly before the meeting started. The new stop signs that they're putting on, supposed to be, I thought, Walnut, north-south, have been put in
east-west. Florida.
And then there's an issue with the radars not being the right one, so
correct.
They don't function. But I don't know if the plan is to correct that or to...
Yeah, that was brought up to my attention when we have a meeting with Farhan. a couple days ago. So I'm gonna have a discussion with our public works team to see one, where was the breakdown in communication, because we gave them the specs and the map. Mm-hmm. And then at that time we have to figure out whether to dig it out and put them in the correct location or purchase more. Those are two options.
Yeah, which is cheaper, to be honest, they did a lot of work.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just, you know, like one of the things I noticed there for that was I didn't think those signs were big. They're big signs.
Oh, yeah.
And they blocked the street signs.
Yeah.
So one of the things was we have to move the street sign to the other side of the corner, you know, so it's just like these unforeseen things. But basically, to answer your question, Commissioner Murphy, I'm aware of it, and we'll rectify that.
Yeah, they told me that the incorrect radars were sent.
That's correct.
With the units, and they expect the correct ones in by
April 1st. Pretty soon. Correct.
Is what they
correct.
Have.
Correct.
The construction might not be done by then.
And I was just, April 1st, I mean, that puts us in with this. So then those streets, are they connected
no.
to them?
No.
Okay. All right, anything else?
No, nope, that's it, thank you.
Commissioner Salai.
I have nothing else.
I have nothing, and I'll say nothing. Thank you very much. And that moves us on to item 7. Items from the Development Services Department.
Chris, go first. You got anything, Chris?
No, really, just our big improvement projects here that are coming up. That's going to be what's impacting the city and OC San. They'll be back on the streets during the day next week, 7 days from now, doing work for about 2 weeks, and then they'll pull off until summertime to do more day work. But they'll be doing night work in between that. So.
Yeah, I noticed the last week, maybe it was last week, 5 minutes. They took Los Alamos Boulevard down, Sylvie Boulevard actually, down to one lane.
Yeah, correct.
At the wrong time of the day. So that would back up all the way to the third lane.
What time?
I'd say 3-ish, maybe 3:30.
Yeah, we gave them permission to work a little bit longer because of the nature of their work. It took 8 hours, and so we extended their work time an hour and a half.
So it's one of those where you have to pick the lesser of two evils. Do we impact school traffic, or do we impact traffic for employees that come, you know, workers coming home? So after much debate and me and Chris arm wrestling, you know, we chose to not impact the school traffic. So that's why we held them.
School.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no.
He won. No. So that's why we had them. You'll notice that they start after 8:30. They would love to start at 7.
Oh yeah.
But we're like, no, right? Especially with the amount of school, the, you know, people, and that's the thing that's unique. I think you all are aware. You live here. That the school district services three communities.
Right.
But when you go to middle school or high school, you go through Los Alamitos.
Yep.
So that's why it's a lot of time on our mind, and we hold a very hard line with a lot of our construction people because they want to come out on our streets, and we say, no, you have to start after 8:30. And if you work in construction, I think Commissioner Mejia knows, they like to start early.
It's bad enough as it is, I can't get on my driveway before 8, after 8.
Correct. Right, yes.
Is that it?
No, I wanted to do a couple items that we kind of showcased this morning at our event at the city. But a couple things from Development Services here is we have a economic development initiative. It's a parklet that's coming out on Pine Street, right? It'll be in April. You remember the first start date, Irving? I don't know if you remember Irving, the manager.
It's like, yeah, so the first date's April 21st. Starts on Thursday, runs through Saturday for 4 weeks consecutively.
Yeah. So we have a lot of events planned out. Like Thursday night, I believe, will be a concert.
So Thursday will be concert, Fridays will be movie, and then Sidewalk Saturday.
Sidewalk Saturday. So again, it's an economic development push to bring people out there to, you know, enjoy some entertainment and hopefully shop at the local either restaurants or retail around that area, or you know, you could go be across the street at Wahoo, take your food to go and come out and enjoy a movie while you have dinner with your family. So again, that starts on the 14th. It runs for 4 weeks. 21st, I'm sorry, and it runs for 4 consecutive weeks. So we'll have some outreach out there in probably by the end of the week or early next week.
So okay. Can I clarify, so Thursday is movies?
Yeah, so Thursday is movies, Fridays,
Thursday's concert.
Thursday's concert. Friday's movie, and then Sidewalk Saturday.
That's April 14th, 15th?
April 21st.
Oh, yes, April 21st, okay, the week after.
For 4 weeks, so, four, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, second week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, third week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, okay?
And then time, what time?
So you can expect the Thursday and Friday events to start around 6 p.m. with the movie, because of daylight savings time and the sun setting a little later, the movie will start a little later. So that'll run till about 9:30.
So say 6:30 to 9:30?
6 p.m.
6 to 9:30.
And then sidewalk Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Is that on Pine Street?
On Pine Street.
Where, and that's using the north of the boulevard?
So Pine Street between Florista and Yakutella.
Yeah, north. Yeah.
Okay, the area you're talking about. Playing with.
Yeah, so we are commandeering a lot of the parking lot, the side parking lot on the street. So when you go out there, we purchase a stage. The city purchased a stage for our concert, and you know, we're going to put the movie screen on top of the stage. And we also invested money in a parkland. So you know, when COVID hit, you probably saw a lot of these restaurants in front of their, you know, put like a little dining area. We have the same concept. We got the walls, we got plants, we got, you know, flooring and all that stuff. Right? We're going to have tables out there, you know, all that. So I think it'll be done very nice. Okay. Let's see what else we got here for development services. That's, I'm just going to go over the real Recreation Community Services has this month the Weekend of Art. That's at the community center. It's the weekend of March 18th and March 19th. Again, if you're not aware, Weekend of Art, it's just a art thing where, and it's free to enter. You can put in your art and display it. And they do a really nice job, make it like, turn the community center into an art gallery. I believe Saturday is, they will have vendors out there. No vendors on Friday, just for Saturday. And it's more arts vendors out there. And I think a food truck. And then throughout the day, they have performing arts, right, going on. So go check out the website. And then as we get closer to the 18th, they're going to have a schedule of what's being shown and what's being done, okay? And then I just want to give another save the date, but the State of the City is coming, right? And so right now, it's tentatively scheduled in the month of May. I don't want to tell you the date because it's not confirmed yet, but it will be in May. We are changing our State of the City format. We're going to do it kind of like as a sip and stroll, right? It's going to be held at Cottonwood Park. So there's going to be an area where you can sit and, you know, listen to dignitaries, the mayor speak, do a presentation. And then at the end, you can walk around the park. We'll have sip with your choice of beverage. And then we'll have bands out there and everything like that. So it's a very different format, but with the same intent of notifying our residents of what is coming up, what's the mayor's initiative for the upcoming year. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be overflow parking for that?
We usually ask the base, not the base, the baseball field to park in their event. And also what's been a very good partner is on Green Street, there is a, it's a church, yeah. And so they let us utilize their parking lot as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is it for me. Anything, Sergeant Bell?
Can't think of anything.
All right.
We got a new employee, so that's good. Daniel Kim is our newest officer. He just got off training, so yes. He's working tonight with us.
Very good.
Doing a good job. And yeah. We've got some more recruitment going on, so mm-hmm. hopefully by virtue of getting more employees, we'll have a motor officer, which will greatly help you guys out, and we'll move on to some other tasks we want to have accomplished with the police department. But we have a new chief as well.
Week 7 for him, I believe. Week 7 or 8, something like that.
For
the chief.
For the chief. Yeah. Is it week 7 already?
I think it's week 7.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. Talking about PD, the council at the 21st council meeting will be honoring retired Chief Eric Nunez at the council meeting. So that'd be a good thing. That's a fun thing to do. So.
March 21st.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. March 21st council meeting. Correct. 6 o'clock. Right here. Okay, and that is it from us. Thank you.
Awesome. So on to item 8, Traffic Commission Initiated Business. Commissioner Salai, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, I just have some concerns about these
two recent accidents. Thursday night over here,
one on the intersection of La Salle and Catella.
Catella. And then Sunday morning up here at Cerritos in Los Alamos. I guess that was more in front of the storage and had to do, I don't know, but you see these little blurbs on Nextdoor, and then there's, it just disappears.
The one on Cerritos, I think that was Cerritos and Chestnut. Is that the one you're referencing? Four cars?
One was flipped, correct?
I don't know the detail on that. There were four cars involved on the Cerritos one. And it was, I don't know if you're all familiar with the right turn only lane when you're going eastbound, just west of Chestnut Street. Mm. It's very common for persons to go straight on that. Right. And, you know, we try and enforce that as much as humanly possible. I know myself personally, I've written that citation countless times. Very dangerous. And the individual driving that vehicle, I think he had his daughter, juvenile daughter in the car, and he goes through it, and as he is almost through the intersection, an individual going westbound to southbound Chestnut, westbound Cerritos to southbound Chestnut, he T-bones him and it causes a big calamity. But no serious injuries in there. And then the second one was
was Sunday, right? The one before was Thursday. So.
And then the other one was, I believe it was a stolen vehicle, high rate of speed. I don't know about the level of intoxication. It's still under investigation, but it was a fatality of the individual driving that vehicle. There were and there was an animal in the vehicle as well, a dog, and it was also fatal. There were eight vehicles involved with that traffic collision, and the main cause, of course, is speed. And then another vehicle going in the opposite direction was the driver wasn't wearing a seatbelt. He was pretty seriously injured as well. It was a passenger in that vehicle that was wearing a seatbelt, his juvenile daughter, and she was fine. So those are the major ones I'm aware of. Cypress has had a couple recently as well.
Last night there was another one.
Right.
So our traffic engineer, Farhad, is aware of all those accidents. He has analyzed those, and he has made some recommendation for us in terms of infrastructure. So part of what the infrastructure on Cerritos is, I think we're out to RFP right now, is to do some street paving or street marking on that, right? And so we're putting thermoplastic down, which is a lot better, much brighter than right now. The vast majority of the city is just regular paint. So that's why it looks very faded. Thermoplastic fades too, but it just, when it's done, you know, and it's kind of fresh, it's very bright. And then, so we're doing a lot. We're doing increased street marking on the street to, like, it'll say like, school zone ahead, slow speed, you know, kind of educate. We're doing stuff like the left turn lane coming out of Los Cerritos onto La Salle Boulevard from the high school. We're making that left turn lane longer, so the queue line's longer, right? And so we're doing a lot of enhanced street marking to hopefully assist. I'm not gonna sit there and say get rid of it, because in my opinion, the one on Catella and La Salle Boulevard, no matter what you do, that dude was just kind of a little And so we of course look at it, and right now we're doing trying to do an enhanced street markings on it, and we're even looking at doing additional ones on La Salle Boulevard, like at Florista and La Salle Boulevard, and again, that crosswalk there. The crosswalk was done in front of Southland, regular paint. It's faded already, and so we are looking into putting thermoplastic paint across it.
You know, Ron, on the Cerritos and the Chestnut, when I go there and I'm turning right onto Chestnut, cars in front of me, they know it's a turn only lane.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They're just blowing right through it, right, so they can get up to the turn at. What markings you're going to put down to stop them from doing it.
There's already two signs there. There are literally two posted signs. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, I'm actually sure you are, but the painting on the street, those are signs as well. So you can be cited for not obeying signs by going through the lines or not obeying the arrow that indicates that you turn right and that lane. Mm-hmm. So, and we do it all the time. It's really a common citation that we write.
Yeah.
Commissioner Salek, you have anything else?
Well, we have two similar issues, only they're going into the traffic right here on Los Al Boulevard, where we're merging people. We don't make them stay in that lane and turn. We let them do all kinds of other things, and there was just an accident also on Bloomfield and Patella on Monday morning. An accident in the turn lane. These turn lanes are...
And that's the thing, is like, people become impatient because there's so much traffic. They become frustrated, so they look for an out, and they'll get in that turn lane, they'll ante right up to the front of it, and they'll just cut everybody off, and you know, I'm surprised we haven't had more things with people getting upset about it. But they do the same thing for school traffic when it's going to be just south of Sausalito. You know, there'll be a long line of cars, and someone will just come up that long line of cars, and you know, and that's it. But we're aware of it, and we definitely issue citations for it. You know, I myself have issued several citations there here when I was on the day shift, and we're all aware of that stuff, so we're trying to stay on top of it.
Just concerning that we've had so many so recently.
Yes, yes. Hopefully we'll have a motor soon, and, you know, it's helpful to have a motor. So we're trying to get our staffing up and get more people out there. And the purpose of the motor is the accessibility of it. So sometimes it's just not as easy to get to people with a police car, and it's not as easy to get back and then, you know, do that enforcement stuff again. But when you have a motor officer, they can go out, they can get that ticket issued, go right back. And what it does is it sets a mental precedent in people's mind. You know, man, this guy's always here. Yeah, so it becomes more than just, we have these signs. It's like, I've seen that motor fella out here, and he just goes, you know, he's like, throws a line in and gets a fish, and throws a line and gets a fish.
They're fast.
And that's it, you know. So hopefully we'll have that get, you know, back in service sometime here in the near future, and I think that will also be helpful.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Commissioner Murphy.
I don't have anything. Thank you.
Vice Chair Pats.
I've got quite a few things. First off, I think we've talked about it before, but if someone can refresh my memory, the safety lights at the street corners where traffic signals are, you've got these lights that hang over that are supposed to light up the area around the traffic signal and help people to cross safely. I've noticed that our safety lights in most parts of the city are not as bright as the new LED lights.
Correct.
I don't know if the city owns them, or if Edison owns them, or who's responsible for the replacement of those units to LED to make them brighter.
Mm-hmm. I know we talked about it before.
Yeah. Correct. So the city owns those.
Okay.
All right. And so the direction that we are going with is that we will replace that when kind of incrementally. Okay. We're not going to go out to the community and do one large LED replacement like Southern California Edison did on their streetlights, okay. I don't know, a couple years ago. I was on the first project when I first came over. So we kind of do it incrementally as we go along.
Thank you. Okay. So we were talking about accidents and about those types of issues, and I just shared with a couple of the commissioners earlier something that happened to my wife and I. Monday, we walk our neighborhood every morning, every evening, and we got down to Cerritos and Humboldt, pushed the signal, waited for the green to walk, got halfway across, and this car comes blowing through the red. Never even saw us, did not even realize that he had gone through a red. Mm-hmm. It is scary out there. You have to be really, really careful. Just wanted to share that. In light of that, we had talked earlier today, this morning, I'd shared with you, we just got back from Washington State, and we saw some crosswalk lights in Washington State that not only have the warning things or those bars up above yellow, but below the lights in LED, they have red and blue lights flashing as well. And believe me, that I've never seen that. That got my attention, because when I see red and blue lights, to me that's police. Mm-hmm. So that might be something that we want to look into for locations that have real major issues. So that was that one. Then I also mentioned another suggestion to Mr. Noda this morning. In fact, we talked about the on-ramp to the 605, where up in Washington, on the different freeways where the interchanges are, on the road, they have 90 east, 90 west. So when you're traveling over that and you see that marking, you know for sure you're in the correct lane. I wonder if that would lend itself to some of our issues, like, you know, right turn onto Florista or whatever the street may be. I don't know that we could do that, but just food for thought, it might be something that we could use, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And that would make it even easier for you, giving a ticket, saying, well, the sign says, right turn only onto so-and-so, you know, or that type of thing. And then the last one was a question that somebody asked me and I didn't know the answer. I had heard that the city is putting up cameras in and around the city. Can
license plate readers?
They're called ALPR. They're up already. Correct. They're license plate readers.
Okay.
Yes.
And can
do you know about it? I know about it.
Yes.
But you can take it if you want.
Whatever you want to do, Ron.
Go ahead. It's a PD thing.
So, license plate readers, they're mounted at specific places, entrances and exits to the city. And what happens is they basically read every plate that goes by in a car. You could be going 100 miles an hour, it doesn't matter. They're going to read the plate in the vehicle. And every time someone reports a stolen vehicle, it goes into the stolen vehicle system, the SVS system. That system goes out nationwide. So if you're in a stolen vehicle that was stolen here in Los Alamitos and you have it in San Francisco and they have an LPR reader, it's going to read the plate and it's going to come across as a stolen vehicle or a stolen plate. And it's going to be dispatched out to the officers that are working that beat so they can pursue the vehicle.
So that was part of the question. One of the questions that was asked of me is there somebody monitoring this stuff? In other words, if a plate is flagged, does it pop up somewhere where somebody can do something
yes.
about it?
Yes, so our detectives, it actually goes for our detectives' work phones, and they're toying with the idea of it going to our individual work phones. But ultimately, it's passive. It passively tracks all plates, and it goes. If there's something that's flagged, it immediately notifies dispatch, and dispatch dispatches for Cypress, Los Alamitos, and Seal Beach.
Sure.
So all sister cities are aware of what's going on at the time, and they'll all gravitate towards the area to apprehend the subject.
And the other question that was asked of me is, people do have concerns about privacy,
mm-hmm.
and my response to them is, if you're in a public place, you cannot expect any level of privacy
whatsoever. And that's correct. So if you're driving down Los Alamitos Boulevard and I happen to be behind you, and I say, oh, you know, I don't know if your license plate's obscured, or if I think that your tags are expired, or whatever the case may be. Let's say that, you know, I'm in the Highlands at 3:30 in the morning, and there's a car driving through the Highlands at 3:30 in the morning. Well, that's suspicious.
Like,
you know,
last night, I think it was.
Could be.
It was.
Yeah, well, you know, we get that stuff all the time. So yeah. We can run the plate to determine. So if it comes back as a, you know, 12,000 something Paseo Bonita address, typically, you know, we won't bother with it because maybe it's someone going to work at 3 in the morning. But
right.
If it comes out of some other city or is expired or something of that nature, then it's something we will more likely pursue. The point I'm getting at is that you there's no privacy in reference to that.
Right.
So the system isn't designed to interfere with persons' lives. It does read all the plates, but the plates are public no matter what. Any
right.
police officer can run them. And it only flags specific things. So a stolen vehicle, a stolen license plate, and
warrant?
We haven't been going on a warrant.
Because you don't have warrants on license plates.
Correct.
Do you? Yeah.
You can on some occasions warrants can be attached to the registered owner and then they trail it back. But it's less frequent. So
So, but the privacy thing really is an issue because your license plate's not private to begin with. Any police officer can run your license plate.
But for more specific, the ALPRs are not like, quote, the big brothers. So they only flags if it's a hit. So if you, like say, I'll just use you example, drive by, it does read your license plate, but it doesn't pull up your information. You know, it doesn't pull up where you live. As long as you're a law-abiding citizen, it just kind of pushes away and reads the next plate. But if you do have an issue, right away it'll flag it, and like Sergeant Mouse, it'll send it over to the detective.
No, I think it's a great idea. I fully support it. Yeah. I'm on record as supporting it.
And on a more positive note, it doesn't just flag stolen vehicles or stolen plates. Let's say, for instance, you know, and we've actually had this occur, whereas someone has dementia, an adult with dementia, gets in a car, someone hasn't seen him for 4 days, and all of a sudden, boom, the plate will come up on the LPR.
Amber alerts as well.
Absolutely. So it serves any number of, you know, positive, you know, things for Los Alamitos, and it's not designed to be intrusive in any way, shape, or form.
So if I understand you correctly, when I'm asked, do we have cameras in the city? Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
And they're ALPR, and the specific purpose is looking for stolen vehicles.
Stolen vehicles, missing persons, stolen license plates, things of that nature.
Thank you.
And I also want to commend the police department because we are, quote, it's a pilot program, so we got 14 cameras at no charge.
Hey, very nice.
Seal Beach has got them going too, and I'm sure Cypress is working on it as well. So it just helps us kind of have a little more control and make sure that, you know, we don't have these hooligans, because oftentimes people steal cars, and what they do is they'll use the cars to conduct other criminal activities in the city. So even if we're not catching the guys in the stolen vehicles themselves, at least we're on the lookout. We know that these people are in the city, maybe to do a burglary or maybe to do catalytic converter theft. So it's a very helpful tool for us in thwarting criminal activity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Mejia.
Nope, nothing at this time. Thank you.
Commissioner Dean.
No, my question, Commissioner Sally already asked, and thank you for the explanation of the license plate readers. Nothing new.
The only thing I'd like to comment on is our city website, or our city email week blast that goes out every week. I think that's tremendous.
Yes.
And I really appreciate it. And I don't know if you know it, but I share a lot of that stuff on my social media. It gives me some content as well. So that's all I have. I think that puts us in an interesting position. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Thank you very much.
It's good seeing you all again.
Yes.
Everyone's in the flesh.